Hello, welcome to the UFOP Plus podcast. My name is Becky and I'm joined today by a friend of mine, John Good. I'll let him introduce himself and let you know how he's connected with me, with UFOP Plus.
Well, hello. Thanks very much for inviting me to join the podcast. I appreciate that. We go way back, Becky, I feel like. So I think we know each other from Stopsy Baptist Church, where I joined in 2012. We were both doing youth work together on the same team for Stopsy Baptist, and which is a time that I really look back on really fondly and had a great time. Yeah, other than that, I am married. I've got three kids. I've got Dylan, who's 10. And he's into all things gaming at the moment. Loves his gaming setup, saving up for one of those things that cost like £1,000, I think.
Wow.
We won't get that for him though. And then Jake is 8 years old, and Jake's playing for Poole Town Football, so we're very pleased with that at the moment. And then little Josh, we've got a big gap, and Josh is 2.5. And Josh is eating massive breakfast at the moment. So, yeah, that's a bit about me. I love surfing. I love reading. I like cooking. Yeah, that's about it, I would say.
Cool. Thanks, John. And John, tell us a bit about your history. Like how, why, when did you get into youth or kids work in the beginning?
I think I got into it because as a teenager, I was in church. I raised my hand, I think, is how I got into it. I was keen. I loved church as a teenager, and I loved what my youth work, my youth leaders were talking to me about and the way that they did youth work. And so probably as early as, I don't know, sort of 14, 15, I began to take some responsibility in church, in youth work stuff at church. And then at 18, I think I moved, and I moved to a council estate. And the reason I moved is because I was a skateboarder and there was a skate park in this council estate. And, I met one of the elders from a small little Baptist church there, and I said, why aren't you doing anything to reach out to the skaters here? There's loads of people, you know, on this in this skate park. What's going on? And they said, well, come and help us do it then. So, and that's pretty much how I got involved. Yeah. So, yeah.
Amazing. And what's your journey been sort of since then? Like how you starting off as a volunteer helping out with the skate park?
Yeah.
Where's your journey taking you from then to where you are now and what you're doing now?
Well, that church sent me into ministry. So I ended up going to Spurgeon Baptist College when I was quite young, and I got sent into ministry that way. And that church, it was weird actually, because that church was tiny, and yet I think they sent like five people into Baptist ministry within about 4 or 5 years. So it's quite remarkable. They were my placement church for a long time, and I was a minister in training, but I was just doing youth work really, which was great, but a real challenge in that area and for how old I was as well. And then what happened after that? Well, actually, if I'm honest with you, I had at the end of that 5 years, I was left. That time was amazing, but it took its toll on me. And at the same time as being at the same time that I was growing in Bible college and my understanding of how to do youth work and what ministry was and all that kind of stuff, I had all sorts of questions about church and its place in the community and what it was doing and how it reaches people and all that sort of stuff. And I eventually ended up deferring my final year at college, just moving away for a year where I just surfed and worked in Nando's in Wales, which I loved. I had a great year. But then I felt like God was calling me to finish what I started. And so after I finished Bible college, I came to Stopsley, because the thing that I think the thread running through my whole ministry has been mission, and I was drawn back to mission and the idea that God was active and at work in all the spheres of life. And because of that, Stopsley Baptist Church, or a church that was exploring the idea of missional community, and they were after a youth worker. And so, yeah, I applied and joined Stopsley and you could self. And then in 2018, I left there. I wanted to become a bit more hands-on. By the end of my time there, I was associate pastor, and I was looking after their missional communities, so small sort of groups of people with a mission focus. And I wanted to just go and do it myself. I wanted to be much more hands-on, and an opportunity arose for that down here in Poole.
So tell us a bit more about what's happening in Poole and what your role is there and what you're doing
there. What I'm doing now? Yeah, okay. So I am, I sort of wear two hats. One of them is I'm a pioneer Baptist minister. So I'm still an accredited Baptist minister. And when we got down here, a theme in Poole is the water. I'm surrounded here by it on three sides. So it's almost like I'm an islander, but not quite. And so whenever the sun shines, people are out there, you know, they're out there for leisure. There's loads of people who use the harbour. They work on it. The RNLI has their headquarters here. And so a lot of life here is based in and around the water. And so, but what I found when I moved here is that the churches were doing surprisingly little with water and water sports. And so there was, I think there was one church that had like an old windsurfing club. But other than that, I don't think there was much. And so we set up this thing called the Water Sports Library, where people could borrow and share water sports equipment. Mm-hmm. And that went really, really well. And it's led us, I think, to a place where we've gained a certain amount of trust in the community. And so we started trialing like sort of retreats out on the water that were based around themes like shalom and all that kind of stuff. Adventure, risk, death. Those kind of things, and we did them actually out on the water, and they went well as well. And that led us to now setting up this little community called Ocean Church. So, and we've registered as a charity, and this year hopefully we'll register it as a Baptist church in its own right. So I'm looking forward to that. And then the other hat I wear is I'm a chaplain for the YMCA. So yeah, I've been there now since last year, and I'm really enjoying that. I think most people think of the YMCA as being just about homelessness and housing support, but we own three leisure centres here in Poole and Bournemouth. Okay. And we also operate, I think they operate between four and five family centres as well. So the work is quite broad. So mm-hmm. working out what chaplaincy means is it's making me think.
Yeah. Two big challenges and exciting things to be involved in.
yeah, I'm really enjoying them. I'm really enjoying it, actually. Both jobs, both roles.
Yeah. And how has God-led move changed you along the way, John?
I mean, I was chatting with somebody just this morning, and they were saying that God prunes when things are good and God prunes when things are bad. And I was thinking, yeah, that's probably how I felt about my own journey. I felt like that time I told you about earlier on in the council estate was really formative for me, but it was also a time when I was really stripped down and really had to work out again what my worldview was, what my view of God was. And during that time, some things need to go, and I had to get rid of a few things about what I felt church was and wasn't, what I felt like my job was and wasn't. And so that was quite a challenging time. And then my time at Stopsley, I think, was just, I've really, really enjoyed it. And in terms of my financial security, I probably have been at the top end of where of my life, really. I think the move to come back down here and start something from scratch felt quite scary. It felt like a pruning again, a stripping back. So one way of looking at the thread of my life would be that God prunes when things are good and prunes when things are bad too.
Yeah. And in your current role at the moment, like how obviously families are involved, how do you get them involved, and how are they kind of key in what you do?
Yeah, well, So all different ages are drawn to the water. If we're talking about the Ocean Church stuff, and everybody loves being out there, being out on the water. And I think the thing that one of the things that stops it made me think about was how do you help all people to make connections between between God and where he works and how he works in those places. And so with Ocean Church, it's about trying to equip young people and their parents sort of at the same time to be able to speak a language whereby people can simply and easily and ordinarily encounter God in the most normal circumstances. You know, I mean, I just think it was, I'd love to, for young people in our little group to grow up and look outside, see the sun or see the rain, see the water, see the grass, and be able to make almost like theological connections and connections with their own identity as well, just by looking at those things.
Yeah.
Instead of having to go just to places of, you know, of normal religious kind of context, you know, instead of going to churches and things like that to get a feeling of God is here wherever they are, where if they're in an office, if they're outside surfing, if they're, I don't know, in whatever, inside listening to music, to be able to make connections between what they're passionate about and who God is. That really excites me.
Yeah. I think as well, I'm thinking of, like, obviously traditional church is quite segmented in the way that it's done. You know, there's stuff that's created and much more tailored to adults, and then children and young people are separated off into separate little groups. And I guess new church plants are a lot less like that. On purpose, because actually it doesn't have to be done that way. And when you're starting something from scratch, it's a lot easier to sort of rewrite the rules on things like that. So how have you kind of tried to engage everybody all at once, and how easy has that been? And
Well, I love the idea of it, and I'm pretty committed actually to all age participation in our, like you say, like it's born out of necessity at the start. Like you know, you just don't have the people to segment, you know, into kids work and youth work. But actually, I think, you know, having read that, like things like Almost Christian by Kendra Creasy Dean and that kind of thing, really spoke to me about trying to find language that is suitable for everybody, and language shapes culture. And so I guess real practically for us, like we do things like we have a welcome that's quite like stringent. It's like written down now so that we're not sort of just blagging our way through it. And because we get new people each time, they literally could just, because we meet in a park, they literally could just rock up at any time. And and so we have a welcome, and that's normally read out by one of the young people. We're doing we do these like body prayers that have been going pretty well. One of the great things about being outside is that you can stretch out, and that's easy to do so. And so we like, so that those prayers are really accessible to to the kids and the young people that we come across. We're literally like kneeling down and like filling our hands with the sand and praying about surrender and those kind of things. And we've been exploring with things like getting different people from different, like whether it's neurodiversity or whether it's age group difference, or it's getting people from any marginalized group to write liturgy and to rewrite the Bible passages and stuff that we use. So so we had like, you know, Jake's version of Isaiah like 9, where it talks about, you know, Jesus bearing the government will be on his shoulders and he will be a wonderful counselor and all that sort of stuff. We had that at Christmas time. But the liturgy that surrounds that stuff is often really confusing and really weird, and actually just rewriting it together is like, it has been a really creative process for us.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, but it is good, but we feel very much like we've only just sort of begun exploring participation properly.
Yeah.
We've been looking at, I don't know if you've heard, have you heard of that book, Reinventing Organisations?
No, I don't think I have heard of that.
Okay. So that's a lot. That's basically sort of saying that at every sort of stage of human consciousness, there's a new way of organising ourselves.
Okay.
And the book, yeah, there's all sorts of things in there. But the thing I've been struck by recently is how to give power away, particularly to young people. Mm. So what does it mean? We're trying to ask the question, you know, we've only just got a bank account, for instance, for the little church plant. So how do we give young people access in a meaningful way to money? You know, if they're going to give to it, if they're going to take from it, what does that mean? How do they access it? Because when I was growing up, you know, money in an organization is somewhere up in the echelons of the leadership. Do you know what I mean? And just to say, I'd love to be able to say to young people, look, we've got money. This is how it works, you know, and here's how you could access it.
Mm. I think young people as well are much more likely to sort of stay involved with something if they feel it's theirs, and they're much more likely to feel it's theirs if they're participating, aren't they? And so that's a really key thing to try and master, that participation thing. Not just engagement, but young people feeling like this is theirs, not just something they go to or are made to go to by parents or dragged along to, but something that is theirs, and they're not only welcome there, but they're needed there.
Yeah,
I think is a game changer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that, you know, like you've mentioned, the difference between the theory and the practice of that is really tricky. Mm-hmm. You read all about, like, you know, young people just have the ability to wonder, and they have the ability to think differently from us and think outside the box. And yeah, they've also got the opportunity, like any of us, to be a right pain in the backside sometimes. And like, if they choose to be, or they could choose to be quite consumeristic as well, like any of us can as well. They just want you to provide a service for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. The challenge of participation is crucial. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned along the way in your involvement with kids, youth and families and ministry?
I mean, it's like, it sounds really simple, but just that God is with them.
Mm.
And so I think that young people and I think that young people can feel like disconnected, misunderstood, and I think that some of the deepest problems that they talk about, and certainly to me anyway, is around identity and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I think they take that with them, I reckon, into adulthood as well. If it passes by unchecked, I think they then become adults who don't understand how, or who feel the same problems, misunderstood and unconnected.
Yeah.
Which is a problem then, because then they begin to pass it on to other people. And so to give anybody the lesson has been like to try at all costs to pass on the message that God is with you in the very deepest parts of your being and work.
Yeah. Yeah. Big lesson and a good one to learn.
Well, I'm not sure if I think there's plenty of room for that to grow within me, let alone anybody else. But
yeah,
I think it's important.
Yeah. And like, have you got any highlights you want to share to encourage people?
From what's going on at the moment?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had a young person come up to us and she said that she wanted to be baptised fairly recently. But that was absolutely awesome. I always celebrate that. And I just think because that to me represents, like, you know, an entire worldview has shifted. Someone has literally been, you know, transformed. And that would be really encouraging. And I'm looking forward to doing that in the harbour. What else? There's been one of the young people set up like a WhatsApp group off their own back. So he's got, he's done like YouTube, he's done Ocean Church Kids. So they've set up their own like little thing where they discuss what we've been teaching them on the beach and what we've been talking about, and nobody's mentioned this to them, and I've only just found out about it. And I love the idea of things sort of springing up that I didn't even know about, you know. So I am encouraged by that too.
Yeah, that's good. And have you got a question for me?
Yes, I have. It's a bit of a silly one, though. Well, it's not silly. I'm curious. Would you, if you could erect any statue of someone or something right in the centre of Milton Keynes where everybody could see it, what would that be? Or who would it be and why?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, nobody, nothing comes straight to my mind to think, like, definitely that.
No one that is statue worthy.
No, like, I was trying to think, like, is there anyone, like, in Milton Keynes history who needs to be celebrated, or, like, in the history of, like, the church world here in Milton Keynes who we celebrate? But I don't think there's been any, like, one, because obviously Milton Keynes is quite a young city.
Yeah.
We've only, it's, like, the 50th birthday was only last year, I think, last year, the year before.
Really?
Yeah.
Really so young,
we're really young as a town. We were a town recently, officially a city, although we've been calling ourselves a city for a long time.
Oh, really? You've done
just
a good
believe
PR
it,
job.
Believe it and it will happen. It was one of those kind of things.
Yeah. Love it.
I kind of feel like there isn't anybody. There is obviously history here.
Yeah.
But there's no particular person who, like, stands out to me who I think, like, oh, they should have a statue.
What about a person? Is there any, like, what about an object? Is there any, like, food? Milton Keynes is, like, notable food? Or...
So there are already some statues in Milton Keynes that are quite famous, notorious here. So there are some statues of some cows that are, like, a thing that is known in Milton Keynes, and they're, like, a famous thing.
Really?
So they're, like, designed by an artist, I think, and put there. I'm not really 100% sure of the history of them, but they're like a thing. And then, yeah, we've got some other, like, we are quite an arty place. So there are, like, some other random statues and things around, and art pieces and things.
Yeah, okay.
There's a park near the city centre called Campbell Park that's got, like, 10 different sculptures and things in there.
Okay,
it's
nice.
Quite cool.
Yeah.
But all of those are quite arty and not,
they're not like big symbols.
Meaning behind them, but not really necessarily for the city, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. I think if something new did pop up, I think it would definitely be, like, it would be newsworthy.
Okay.
So it would need to be something, I feel like it would need to be something that could, like, get people talking.
Yeah, talking point.
Yeah, talking point, and a positive one. But I can't think of what that tangible thing would need to be to make that happen.
Yeah, like a massive cheeseburger or something. Okay. All right. Well, keep thinking. Keep me posted.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, if I think of something.
Yeah.
I'll definitely. Let us know. Yeah, I'll come back to you.
Yeah, do. I'm keen to know.
Yeah. Okay, John, what area of youth or kids ministry or general ministry are you most passionate about and why?
That would be, mission, I think. So the idea that God doesn't belong just in church, if there is a God, he is God over everything, is probably the driving centre of my life and my work, I think. And that verse about Jacob waking up and saying, you know, God was in this place and I wasn't aware of it. And I think, that's been really important to me. It's important for people to understand whether they, like, for the people who don't know Jesus and aren't involved in the faith, I think it's really important to try and communicate that the God we worship doesn't just care about church. He cares about banks. He cares about politics. He cares about health. And there's real intricacies and nuances there that the church needs to learn from. You know, we need to learn from the people there about what God is already doing, so that we know how to join him.
Yeah, I think it's a mindset thing, isn't it, too? Because sometimes we can have the mindset that, like, we're bringing God with us as Christians. Like, we're bringing God to this place that is godless. Whereas I think that is quite sort of old school and an incorrect mindset, really, because God's already at work everywhere and is already present everywhere. And so although, you know, we bring something with us as obedient servants in that setting and context, God's already at work there, and is already doing something.
Absolutely. I think it's really crucial, but quite difficult. I think even somebody like me, I'm quite grounded in that old school mentality, and I think we do still have something to offer that we should be proud about. I do believe that Christian faith does belong in the public sphere. But there's so much more out there about, you know, how to discover God's work, you know, in the lives of people and organizations already doing amazing stuff.
Like, John, obviously a lot of your background is in youth work and youth ministry. Kind of, how does that inform your role now? How has that changed, sort of, do you think, your perspective in church leadership?
I think that, I guess, the main thing that it's done is for me to see children and young people I don't mean this the wrong way, as anything special. Like, I want to treat them in exactly the same way that I would want to treat the adults. Give them the same amount of power that I would give the adults. Give them, like, take their advice as seriously as I would an adult. Do you know what I mean? And so in terms of ministry, fostering ways that can happen more effectively, and finding ways that are new and old about how to listen to all people, you know, from all different walks of life. So I think that's why, that's how they would inform my ministry. I want them to be an integral part of it. I want them to take leadership of it.
Which is, a good mindset to have, I think, because young people are just as vital to the church as adults. And actually, sometimes when we prioritise adults, we automatically deprioritize children and young people. And it can be a bit chicken and egg, can't it? Because sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, I'll prioritize children and young people when we've got a few more, or when we've got some. But sometimes you'll never have any if you don't prioritize it before that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes, I think it's really difficult because I think a church or any missional community, like, it has to have at its start something that it's aiming at. And as soon as you aim at something, like, you will exclude the people who aren't that thing. But the opposite danger of that, I think, is church that tries to be all things to all people, and you end up just being the very worst compromise of all things, because you're trying to welcome everything. Whereas, I don't know how popular this opinion is, but I welcome, like, a slight sense of exclusivity, in the sense of I'm trying to do one particular thing, and that will mean that other stuff doesn't get prioritized in the same way. But including young people and children in that process, I think it's vital. We need their voice to guide us.
Yeah. And John, how can people get involved in what you do? What can they pray for? What can they, if people are local to you, how can they get involved with Ocean Church? And
well, that'd be amazing. We meet in Poole. If anybody's down in Dorset, I'd love a cup of coffee. Feel free to just get in touch. Message. I mean, we've got Ocean Church Facebook page. So, and there's a website as well, which we're still developing, which is oceanchurch.uk. And people can get in touch that way. That'd be great. And it's very informal. And there's a WhatsApp group as well, if people are down here, because we need to post like last minute tide changes and weather changes and stuff. And then to pray for, I think we're quite young. We've got quite a young leadership team, in terms of experience and in terms of being together. So yeah, just pray that God will guide us, I think, where we need to go, and that we'd be open to that. I think I'm finding that you want to, like, there's so many things about church life, and I just it's like one big melting pot at the beginning, and you're just chucking everything is just in the same pot. And do you know what I mean? We're trying to talk about LGBT stuff. We're trying to talk about how to lead a church. We're trying to talk about, like, where we are with, you know, what it means that Jesus died for us. And we're trying to, all these things come at the same time. And so pray for just good leadership and discussions and priorities, and that church, God would guide the pace of the thing going forward, I think.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Thanks, Becky.
Yeah. And what advice or encouragement would you give for youth or kids leaders who are listening to this? Any tips you'd give?
I think I've picked up all sorts of bits and pieces about ministry and youth work from all over the place. So I think if I could give out any tips, it would be to read and listen and meet people really widely. Just read books that aren't in your normal genre. Listen to stuff that's not your normal stuff. And listen to people who are not from your sector, you know. And I've just picked up all sorts of bits and pieces, I think, from what God is doing elsewhere. And I think, oh yeah, it's totally transferable, you know. And I've really enjoyed making those connections between youth ministry and whatever I'm hearing.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, John. It's been great to sort of pick your brains and find out a little bit about what you're doing and your journey.
Thanks very much. It's been great to be on. I haven't seen you for ages as well, so it's lovely just to catch you and to see you again. And I love what you're doing with the Youth Work podcast. It sounds absolutely brilliant, and I hope that it gains even more traction into the future.
Yeah, thanks, John. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing down in Poole.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I will do.
Love hearing about it, and love getting your newsletters.
Yeah. Well, if you and Alex and anybody else are down our way, come give us a shout. We'll go paddleboarding.
Yeah. We Milton Keynes is probably one of the most centralised towns or cities in the UK that is the furthest away from the sea. But people here generally, whenever they get the chance to have a holiday, it's like, which beach can I go to, and where where can I go?
Yeah. Well, you'd be very welcome down in Dorset. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, if you've enjoyed listening to this, then obviously please do like it, share, subscribe, all the usual things. They not only help you find us again, but help other people to find us and tune in. If you have got a question for John or want to pick his brains on anything, then obviously feel free to leave a comment, and we can get you in touch with him if you need to or want to. And yeah, if you are local to where he is, down in Poole, then do connect in with him. He'd love to meet you for a coffee, as he said. And yeah, it's good to connect with people who are in your sort of area. So yeah, if you are near him, connect in. If you're not, then be great for us to sort of pray for the things that he's asked for prayer for. That helps us all to feel a little bit more connected to each other, I think, when we pray for other people as well. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll hopefully catch you on the next podcast. See you later.